Amateur Radio Newsline Report Number 2163, with a release date of Friday, April 12, 2019, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC reviews a controversial proposal to regulate digital modes. Hams in Poland end a big contest weekend, and some encouraging words from the Bouvet Island team's ship captain. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report Number 2163 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
We open this week's report with news that the FCC is receiving comments on one ham's petition that wants to change the way hams use digital modes. Here's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The debate continues as the FCC reviews a rulemaking petition from a Nebraska amateur who wants the agency to require all protocols used in digital codes to be open source, publicly available, and unencrypted. The petition by Ron Kolarik, K0IDT, is known as RM11831 and has sparked a debate creating a digital divide in the ham community. The proposal has been endorsed by noted researcher Ted Rappaport, N9NB, the founder of the NYU Wireless Research Center at New York University, who believes the transparency being sought is part of the spirit of amateur radio and that the spectrum is, in his words, a gift that should be available for everyone to share. Dissenting opinions filed with the FCC argue that the enactment of such a proposal would seriously stifle the use of data modes on the radio bands. Opponents of the proposal include Lauren Cutchins, W3QA, president of the Amateur Radio Safety Foundation, which oversees Winlink, the worldwide radio messaging system used on the ham bands for emergency services that include email with attachments, position reporting, and weather bulletins. Time is running out. Those wishing to comment to the FCC have until the 29th of April to do so. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
In the United States, two government shortwave stations are giving support and a time slot to help the Department of Defense. Jack Parker, W8ISH, has that story.
WWV and WWVH, the shortwave radio stations of the U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology, are making provisional time slots available to the U.S. Department of Defense for announcements of military communications exercises on the HF bands, activities that include amateur radio. The first announcements will be heard between the 20th of April and the 3rd of May in connection with an interoperability exercise in Wisconsin. The announcements will be heard at 10 minutes past the hour on WWV and at 50 minutes past the hour on WWVH. The U.S. Army Military Auxiliary Radio Systems Program Manager, Paul English, WD8DBY, said that the Defense Department's use of the broadcast time slots will be a big help in the MARS program's mission to reach out to the ham community. WWV and WWVH transmit on 2.5, 5, 10, 15, and 20 megahertz. Another transmission will occur in June for an exercise in Ohio. The government-funded stations faced closure under the agency's 2019 budget proposal last year, but were saved. However, the agency is now facing a cut of one-third of its current $1 billion budget under the president's 2020 fiscal year request. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jack Parker, W8ISH.
It's time for the annual National Hurricane Conference, and Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, has the agenda for this New Orleans event.
Amateur radio's role in effective hurricane preparedness is again taking center stage at the 2019 National Hurricane Conference in New Orleans. The meetup runs from April 22nd to April 25th and will feature such participants as Ken Graham, WX4KEG, director of the National Hurricane Center, Bob Robichaud, VE1MBR of the Canadian Hurricane Center, and Fred Kleber, K9VV, manager of the ARRL Virgin Islands section, which was hard hit by Hurricanes Irma and Maria. The gathering will also feature a presentation by Bill Feist, WB8BZH of the National Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network, or SATURN, and a discussion by Julio Ripoll, WD4R, who will give an overview of the operations of WX4NHC, the National Hurricane Center's ham radio station. Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, manager of the Hurricane Watch Net, will explain the net's role in various emergency situations. Rob Macedo, KD1CY, will discuss the work of the VoIP Hurricane Net. The conference provides an opportunity to improve hurricane preparedness, response, recovery, and mitigation in the United States and the Caribbean and Pacific. For details, visit the website hurricanemeeting.com. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Radio isn't just a science. Radio is also an art. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us of one project in Iceland that's recognizing hams as part of the art experience.
Lucy Helton, KD2MFV, is an American artist in residence at SIM in Reykjavik in Iceland, and she is literally breaking the ice with hams and the fine art world in a project with partner Jon Jonsson, TF3JA, a member of the Icelandic Radio Amateurs Association. The two are transmitting images of Icelandic glaciers from the Reykjavik Museum of Photography's collection and asking hams who receive these long-range transmissions to print out the images and post them back to her in London. She's providing instructions on how to do this on her blog at lucyhelton.com. The calling frequency and transmissions are at 14.230 MHz plus or minus 5K, at 1300, 1800 and 2300 hours GMT. These are images captured long before such a thing as climate change was even in the public consciousness. The goal now is to reconstruct the whole transmitted image from the printed pieces she receives back in the mail. She told Newsline, quote, "The resulting artwork will be a collaborative fine art example of long-range communications between humans concerning accelerated environmental change." End of quote. The project continues until the 23rd of April. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
If you're busy collecting contacts from around the world using digital modes, this awards program is for hams like you. Jerry Goodrich, KF5KRN, explains.
Amateur Radio Association in New York has rebranded its awards program with a digital focus, generating a new name and some new excitement for participants. Organizers call it the Grid and Prefix Award Program, or GAPA. This comprehensive series is open to shortwave listeners as well as hams with awards based on grid square locations as well as call sign prefixes. Eligible contacts can be made on most of the popular digital modes and confirmed through LOTW, EQSL, QRZ, or direct QSL cards. According to Allen, WL7CG, prefix awards can be earned by working digital operations around the world and collecting different prefixes, starting with the basic award given for submission of between 50 and 400 prefixes, based on mode used. The Grid Square Awards likewise begin with a basic award requiring between 50 and 300 unique Grid Square locators, also based on mode used. Allen told Newsline that the awards eventually progress in difficulty to add to the challenge. For additional details, visit GAPAAwards.com. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jerry Goodrich, KF5KRN.
If you know a bright young U.S. or Canadian radio amateur who gives of himself or herself to the hobby and the community, you probably know a strong candidate for Amateur Radio Newsline's Young Ham of the Year Award. The honor is named in memory of Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. We are currently accepting nominations, but the deadline of May 31st is fast approaching. Information about candidate eligibility is available on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. You can download a nomination form there to return to us. The award will be presented August 18th at the Huntsville Hamfest in Huntsville, Alabama. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the KR4CW repeater of the Stevens County Amateur Radio Society in Toccoa, Georgia, on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. local time. Hams in Poland are busy submitting their logs after what turned out to be a very busy contest weekend. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has those details.
As many as 800 radio amateurs throughout Poland were calling QRZ in CW and on SSB throughout the weekend of the 6th and 7th of April. The annual SPDX contest, which has been held since 1933, is the biggest operating event of the year in Poland. Although it's a competition for various awards among serious contesters, it also provides a welcome opportunity for hams to reconnect casually with friends on the air. There are also different levels of the Polska Award, which is given to those working the 16 provinces within the country. According to Adam, SQ9S, of the contest committee, there was plenty of good DX to be had, especially between Poland and the US. Participants have until the 30th of April to submit their logs. According to the contest website, preliminary scores will be released on the 5th of May and the official results on the 31st. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
More than a half century after his historic spaceflight, the late cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin is being remembered with a special event station. Ed Durant, DD5LP, who worked the station, has been following that story.
If you hear call sign Radio Golf 61 Papa Papa calling QRZ on the bands, you're hearing the sounds of history. The 61 stands for 1961, the year cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin rode into outer space inside a Vostok space capsule from what was then known as the Soviet Union. In that year, on April 12th, he became the first human to travel into space with a flight that lasted 108 minutes. Special Event Station RG-61PP has been marking this anniversary on the air since March 9th, what would have been the cosmonaut's 85th birthday. Meanwhile, another ham radio commemoration, which began on the 6th of April, concludes on the 14th at 23:59 UTC. This is being held by a youth amateur radio league in Kazakhstan to honour the 58th anniversary of flight. The stations are using all radio modes, including digital. The special call signs are UP58G, UO58G and UN58G. As for RG61PP, it will continue its operation through to the end of April. According to the station's page on QRZ.com, the call sign stands for Russia Gagarin 61 Planet Pioneer. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
There's a little more real estate for hams in Spain for operating on 2.4 gigahertz, and a very good reason for it, as John Williams, VK4JJW, tells us.
Hams in Spain now have good reason to be excited about the SHAL-2 geostationary satellite launched last year by Qatar. Spanish officials have announced that amateur radio operators will be permitted access to a greater part of the 2.4 gigahertz band than they previously had in order to communicate with the transponders on board. Until the 26th of September, hams are getting use of the band between 2400.050 megahertz and 2409.5 megahertz to access the satellite for SSB communications. Until now, only the portion of the band between 2316 and 2332 megahertz had been authorized. The hams may use a maximum EIRP of 1500 watts. The satellite was launched last November. It carries the first amateur radio transponders to be in geostationary orbit and can link hams from Brazil to Thailand and all places in between. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
April 25th marks International Girls' Day in Information and Communications Technology. Private companies, nonprofit organizations, and even big businesses around the world are getting involved. The event is backed by the membership of the International Telecommunication Union, and it provides girls and young women with a window into the tech world with the hopes of sparking interest in studies and an eventual career. Yes, ham radio is getting into the act, too. In Austria, hams in the vicinity of Vienna are being asked to listen with extra attention for the voices of young girls on the air from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. local time from the offices of Al Austria Telecom in that city. The girls will be assisted by employees of the company at the workers' ham radio station and will be calling QRZ on both HF and Echolink. According to the ITU website, since the program began, more than 357,000 girls and young women have participated in International Girls in ICT Day in 171 countries worldwide. In the world of DX, listen for Hero JF1OSL, Toru JH0CJH, and Shin JR1NHD operating as MD0HWX, MD0ITP, and MD0IUX respectively from the Isle of Man between April 27th and May 1st. They're on the air holiday style on various HF bands using CW, SSB, and the digital modes. For QSL information, consult QRZ.com. Operators Ann OH2YL and Marco OH2LGW will be operating as OG0YL and OH0/OH2LGW, respectively, from the Åland Islands from the 19th to the 23rd of April. Listen for them on 80 through 6 meters using CW and SSB, QSL OG0YL via OH2YL, and OH0/OH2LGW via OH2LGW. Herald DF2WO is on the air as XT2AW from Burkina Faso until the 26th of April. He's operating holiday style on 160 through 10 meters using CW, SSB, and the digital modes, which will include FT8, PSK31, JT65, and RITI. He'll also be operating using slow CW, QSL via M0OXO direct, or by M0OXO's OQRS. We end this week on a note of hope for the Bouvet Island D-Expedition 3Y0I. Much of that hope and support comes from a key person who isn't even a ham. Ed Durant, DD5LP, explains.
Anthony Burke, the captain of the MV Atlantic Tuna, the vessel used by the 3Y0I D-Expedition to Bouvet Island, is not an amateur radio operator. Still, he has sent one of the most coveted signal reports ever to the team he had intended to transport to the island until dangerous conditions caused him to abort the trip on the 27th of March. The captain wrote a letter to the global amateur radio community, which the Bouvet team posted on its website. It is a virtual QSL card any ham could only wish for and any D-expeditioner could only hope for. He wrote, quote, "I must admit, I have been totally impressed by how the amateur radio expeditioners dealt with the extreme circumstances and helped me and my crew to maintain the vessel in such difficult moments. I could easily see that the professional certified training course they have received in South Africa over the past 6 months resulted in their professional actions and ability to face one of the biggest dangers one may encounter on routes just like the one to Bouvet Island," end quote. As a result, he has committed to return with the team after the ship's necessary repairs and technical examination. He is also committing his own money, making a financial contribution for the second attempt. "Do not lose hope," the captain wrote, "for putting Bouvet Island onto radio waves as early as this year." For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Ed Durant, DD5LP.
With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, AMSAT, American Institute of Physics, the ARRL, Bouvet Island D-Expedition website, CQ Magazine, FCC, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Lucy Helton, KD2MFV, NYU Wireless, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ.com, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Space.com, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, WTWW Shortwave, and our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW, in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2019, all rights reserved.